And good afternoon. Welcome to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. My name is David Ripa, and I will be your host for the next hour. And we are going to be continuing the 2007 fundraiser for CITR. Lots of fun. As some of you may know out there who are regular listeners, Ifni is still not with us. She's in the hospital with a head injury, not from bicycling. She wants everybody to know that this is not a bicycle-related injury. Some of you might have been at Carcass and saw the quote-unquote incident. and this highlights one of the reasons why CITR needs more money. Not for safety, but for better equipment here so that somebody at Mount St. Joseph Hospital could actually hear this station out there. So today, if you feel like giving us some money, you can call 604-822-8648 or 604-822-1242. So this week, while I was working at Free Geek down Main and Second, old-time friend of mine, Simeon, came by on what looked like and was a brand-new Surly long-haul trucker bike. And so I hadn't seen Sim on a bicycle in about 2 years, so I wanted to know more about what was going on. So I brought him into the studio today to talk a bit about long-haul biking. Hello, Simeon.
Hi, David.
How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, no problem. And, well, are you enjoying your new bicycle?
Yeah, it's great. So far, I think I have 9 kilometers on it.
9 kilometers? And where has that taken you?
Well, from my home at Yukon and Broadway to Trafalgar Street and back.
Wow.
And, of course, that trip down to the Free Geek shop.
Well, of course, yeah. And are you liking it? Is it feeling good? I know your old bike was, you had it for a fairly long time.
Yeah, it's the new one's the touring bike of my dreams. And I've actually had my old bike long enough that I was considerably shorter when it was new. So, yeah, it's a long-awaited addition.
Much like CITR needs new equipment.
Yeah, actually, looking around the studio, there's some pretty crusty old gear here. I'm surprised that we're even broadcasting at all.
And what number can they call, Sim, to give us money?
Well, that number, David, was 604-822-8648. Or, of course, you could try line 2 at 604-822-1242. And your donations may even allow us to amalgamate those into one single number.
So, What prompted you to get your new bicycle?
Like I said, my old bike I've had since I was actually shorter, and it wasn't quite fit properly. It was the frame was a little bit too small, the last year that I rode regularly was 2005, and I did quite a bit of riding that year. Between December and May, I put about 9,700 clicks on that bike, and actually did myself an injury. I injured one of my knees on a long ride, and have been kind of recovering from that since.
How long have you been long-distance riding, though? I know it just hasn't been BC, correct?
That's right. I went on my first multi-day tour in 2001. And got hooked, and have been riding like long distance out of town ever since. But I've been riding bikes and loving it since I was basically old enough to balance one.
Of course, yeah. I know you've taken me on a couple of, well, not long journeys, not your mega trips, but certainly some nice ones around the island when we used to live together in Victoria. I guess over time, you've certainly learned how to pick your equipment. Are there certain things that you looked for in this new bike? It's not your average commuter or a fixie or a mountain bike. There's some pretty specific things about this bicycle.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's the touring bike of my dreams, and it's kind of been geared towards riding on the West Coast and particularly riding in the winter. It's got a hub generator and lighting so that it can produce enough light to ride safely at night on highways, you know, way far away from the nearest streetlight, without relying on batteries, which, you know, typically might be good for one night, but on a multi-day tour, you've got nowhere to charge your batteries in between days.
Of course.
It also has a disc brake on the front wheel because riding in the winter on the coast, it rains. And out in the country, especially in areas where logging's happening, often there's lots of silt and grit on the road, and that just destroys your wheels really quickly with the rim brakes.
Hmm, interesting. Well, it sounds like you got quite the upgrade, and CITR actually needs an upgrade quite like that. The last upgrade to these studios was about 10 years ago, and that's about as long as you had your old bike, I think. But we need your hard-earned money to be able to replace the console that I'm looking at right now and buy new headphones. I can see the foam pouring out of the, you know, it covers your ear there, and the turntables, these guys that were before us, they're always hammering away on them, but you know, they need new turntables apparently. And the stuff's not cheap. You can't just go down to Free Geek and get some used consoles to run this place. So, speaking about Free Geek, there is a website for you more geeky type people that might be listening to this live on the internet. You can visit http://citr.ca/donate.php. Or, Sim, what else could they do to get in touch with us?
Well, of course, you could always use the old-fashioned phone numbers. There's 604-822-8646 or 604-822-1242.
Awesome. We're going to listen to some music.
What they got to say. Sometimes you know I'm feeling no when I have myself a drink. Other times I'm so damn hungry, but there's nothing to eat. Well, excuse me, sir, do you have the time? Could you spare a dime? I'm living out here on the street, but at least it ain't a crime. I wonder how you are today, you're really looking fine. Your hair is cut, your suit is clean, your shoes are newly shined. When he stopped, well, I could see his mind had come apart. He put his finger in my face, and who do you think you are? Well, I'm just a bag of bones, just a bag of bones, just a bag of bones. I'm just a bag of bones, just a bag of bones. Live and die, laugh and cry, and sometimes wonder how or why. Calls the office where he works. He laughs a lot as he looks down at the people that he hurts. It's doggy dog and he can't do, and that's the life he's learned. His wealth they found, his concrete tower make up the bridges burn. Secretary, just to buy the time. She has two kids, works two jobs, so barely makes it by. And he complains about the people on the street. Well, he said that with their lives. She'd heard enough that stood right up the side to speak her mind. You think you're better than anyone else? You better think again. That maybe it's just a little bit worse. You call yourself a man, and you're just a bag of bones, just a bag of bones, just a bag of bones. Yeah, you're just a bag of bones, just a bag of bones. You're just a bag of bones. Just a bag of bones. I'm living out here on the street, getting drunk and getting stoned. I'm just a bag of bones. Just a bag of bones. Living, die, laugh, and cry. Sometimes wonder how or why. Just a bag of bones. 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 Living, die, laugh, and cry. Sometimes wonder how or why.
And that was the Red-Eyed Rounders from Victoria, B.C., no longer together, and that was Bag of Bones. And I believe with us, hopefully still on the line, because we know that the antiquated equipment here in CITR, sometimes I lose telephone calls. And so hopefully we have our first caller online. Franklin. Hey, there we go. It's still working. for now.
Yo, David, I gotta commend you on your musical taste, man. I would just never think to like look for that type of music.
Oh, well, excellent. Ifni never lets me play the music I want to play, so this is my opportunity. And no, I didn't hit her in the head just to get that opportunity.
Go nuts!
So, you were a caller on my last solo show and helping me out here, and you're always so knowledgeable about what's going on in Vancouver. I thought maybe you could help us find out what to do in the next couple of weeks in Vancouver.
You know, Sunday is going to be a big rally, Homes Not Games, sponsored by the APC. I believe they're going to take over a building. This is going to be at Liberty Park. That's across from the Pot Block on, what is that, Hastings and what, Powell?
I'm not sure.
Hastings. Yeah, you know, it's down there where people go smoke pot. And I think they're going to take over a building that day, so it should be exciting. And so they need support, and I'll be there, and so should you.
Well, there's so many good reasons to be there.
There's so many great reasons to be there. One, that it's going to be Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well,
you know, why be inside when you could be rabble-rousing?
It's true. And are you going to be archiving this, or are you there just to, you know, have a sign and stuff like that?
I will be there archiving.
Awesome.
I'll be there doing some independent media work and then giving media support. Make sure that it's documented for posterity. For when we win, we can look back and look at the great stuff that we've done.
I like this positive attitude. It's
Thank
good.
You.
Anything else?
But listen, you know, I know you guys are on trying to raise funds, and I was going to offer this up, like right here on the spot.
Okay.
You know, I'm doing this Derek Jensen event next Friday at the Ukrainian Hall.
Derek Jensen at the Ukrainian Hall?
Yes. And Ukrainian Hall is the 10th at Main and starts at 8 p.m. Well, what I wanted to offer up was that the next person that calls CITR and gives CITR $20 or more, I will donate 2 tickets to that person to go to the event. So that's cheaper than you can buy the tickets. Because the tickets are 12 in advance, 15 at the doors. But if you give 20 to CITR, I will give you 2 tickets for free.
That's amazing, Franklin. And I just have to slip this number in so they know where to call. They should call 604-822-8648
or 604-822-1242.
And tell them that Franklin sent you and that you want your damn tickets, but you got to give $20. And we're gonna do our fact-checking. Franklin, that's such a generous offer. Thank you.
Oh, it's nothing. I think independent radio is amazingly important, and in this age of corporate control, we need to support these little outlets that that are pumping out the important stuff like bicycles, you know, and bluegrass music from Victoria.
Oh, absolutely! I totally agree with you. And what day was that Derek Jensen event?
It's October 19th. That's mm-hmm. next Friday at the Ukrainian Hall. You can buy tickets at Spartacus Books, mm-hmm. also across from Victory Square on the Pop Lock on East Hastings,
yep.
and also at a People's Co-op Bookstore that's on Commercial Drive.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I think, Commercial and First around there. And then you can also get it online at this website, which is submedia.tv/Jensen, and that's J-E-N-S-E-N.
Awesome, Franklin. Is there anything else we should know, or is that like the events?
There's something that you should know.
Okay.
And it's that you're the man.
Thank you very much, Franklin.
All right. Have a great show, man.
Thanks, bud.
Peace.
Well, there we go. Now you know what to do for October.
October 19th.
And Derek Jensen was on here before, or at least we phoned him, and he's a very interesting fellow. I think that will be quite exciting. And if anybody noticed, Franklin was coming in a little crackly there. You know, we're kind of losing out things and that. And Franklin's a very awesome guy. And if you want to hear Franklin a little more clearer in the future, we need some better equipment here. And in particular, we need a new server for the podcasting because, I mean, everybody's about their iPods these days. So in order for you to enjoy your iPod more, you got to get CITR a little bit more funding so our taxed server can do things a little bit better here.
I believe that system is running currently on a Commodore 64.
Yep, I saw it actually. It's over in Bryce's office, and I think it's glowing red. Like it's working way too hard. So we need better server, and, of course, a better bandwidth. So, again, you can call 604-822-8648, and hopefully someone's called already for those Derek Jensen tickets, or you can call
604-822-1242.
Awesome. So, back to bicycles. When you were bicycling long distance in Ontario, it was just by yourself primarily, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I just thought I was a really strange fellow. You know, I didn't really realize that there was a whole community of people that do long-distance touring and endurance touring. I moved to BC in 2002, and eventually I found out about the BC Randonneurs, which do exactly the kind of insane riding I do. And there's there's hundreds of them worldwide, probably even thousands.
Really?
Yeah, I was shocked.
I'm shocked right now. This sounds French, Randonneurs.
It is. It started in France. I'm not sure exactly when, but they've been doing it since, I believe, the 20s or the 30s. And the premier ride is called Paris-Brest-Paris, which happens every 4 years. It's a continuous ride from Paris to the town of Brest on the Brittany coast, and then back to Paris, which is a total distance of 1,200 kilometers.
Wow. Did they do that in one day?
Well, continuously. I believe the time limit is 90 hours. So, you know, it's more than one day, but it's often people complete the whole distance without actually sleeping.
Oh, my God. So, like, we're talking the Ironman of, like, the Tour de France kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a pretty serious ride.
Awesome. And how long has the BC Randonneurs been around for, then?
Since the mid-80s. It was actually formed by a group of people from BC who were interested in going to Paris-Brest-Paris. But in order to qualify, they had to ride a series of shorter rides, with like strict timing and adjudication rules. So they formed the BC Club in order to qualify for the Paris ride, and it kind of bloomed from there.
And can you tell us a little bit about your first experience with them?
Yeah, I found out about them after, like I say, doing a lot of this endurance touring just on my own. I found out about them at the end of the 2004 season, and signed up for the 2006 season. They host a series of rides, starting in the spring with the Pacific Populaire, which is kind of an informal 100-kilometer ride that anyone can just come out and do. Typically, there's you know, over 100 people that take part in that. And then from that point on, there's a series that starts with a 200-kilometer ride, then there's a 300-kilometer ride, a 400-kilometer ride, and then a 600-kilometer ride, and that's the basic series. In addition to that, there's some 1,000-kilometer events and a couple of 1,200s that happen, not necessarily every year, and some other associated things.
Now, we're talking some pretty great distances here. Obviously, this isn't just loops around Victory Square. Whereabouts do these travels go? Do they stay within the Lower Mainland? Do they go into the United States?
Well, some of them do go into the United States. There's a series for Vancouver Island. There's a series for the people in the Lower Mainland area. There's another series in the interior. And there's other groups in other provinces and in other countries, like Seattle has a group as well. The Vancouver Island 1200 is actually a ride from Victoria to Port Hardy and then back to Victoria.
It's not a bad ride.
Yeah, it's quite a distance.
What was your longest ride with them?
The longest brevet, that's what these rides are called, I've taken part in, was a 400-kilometer ride. I did the Vancouver Island 400 and then the Lower Mainland 400 in the 2005 series season.
Interesting. And did the folks at BC Randonneurs, were they a very welcoming group? Did they kind of, until you kind of proved yourself, did they kind of start talking to you? I know there's a lot of sort of different bicycle cliques here in Vancouver. It can be a little intimidating sometimes.
Yes, they are a very open and accepting group. It's not it's not a competitive sport. It's more a cooperative cooperative event. People help each other and they work together to try and accomplish these goals. It's very much people setting goals for themselves and accomplishing them rather than trying to beat somebody else or be the best in the group. I found actually that I was one of the youngest people. I was, I believe, 25 that year. And many of the people I was riding with were actually old enough to be my parents. And actually, most of them were faster than me, too.
Wow, that's pretty interesting. And did they require any special equipment or, you know, a note from your doctor saying, yes, you know, you're clinically insane and can ride 400 kilometers in a day?
There are some requirements, yeah. Things like mud flaps are required.
Really?
Yeah, so that you don't wind up spraying your fellow riders with water from your wheels, because it invariably rains at some point, mm-hmm. especially on the coast. Lights are a requirement for the longer rides, and certainly a very good idea. They actually check that you have spare bulbs for your lights. Helmets and high-vis vests also for the nighttime rides are among the other requirements.
Wow, that's a pretty lengthy list of requirements, but understandable for sure. Do they have a website?
They do. It's randonneurs.bc.ca, I believe.
Well, very good. Very much like the website that anybody listening right now can click on to help, you know, fund the show you're listening to right now. This is, while it's free for you to listen and free for me to do this, sort of, you know, this equipment is not cheap, and I still want to keep talking about bicycles every other Thursday. So you can visit the website at, I'm going to drop the HTTP because everybody knows what that is, citr.ca/donate.php. Or you can call 604-822-8648.
Or 604-822-1242.
I think we're just going to cut to a song here. All this long distance riding, you know, it makes me think that you sometimes have to have like a, I guess they call it a mantra or something, just kind of going through your head. So in honor of that, we're going to play a little bit of Nina Simone. No, thank you, Nina Simone. That was Nina Simone, Flow Me La, off, if anybody really wants to find that song and doesn't use BitTorrent, you can get that from an album called Nina Simone at Newport, the Village Gate, and Elsewhere. And I'd actually met a guy in New Jersey that was at the Village Gate concert that was recorded at. So it's a really, really good double album. Anyways, you are listening to the Pedal Revolutionary Show on CITR 101.9 at the UBC campus. We are in the midst of our first ever fundraising drive, and to make a pledge to give us some dough, your hard-earned money, because we need, I think it's about $20,000 here to replace some various bits of equipment. I know that I can hear the consoles making a little bit of a weird noise, and the computer at my feet's an old Pentium 3, and I know Free Geek, they get Pentium 4s just given to them, so there's definitely, you know, some need for upgrade here, and only one of our CD players actually plays MP3-type CDs. The other two are just plain Jane CD players, so there's definite need, and there are two numbers which you can contact the volunteers that will take all your info at, and they are
604-822-8648 or 604-822-1242.
Awesome. So we're just talking with Simeon Velstra, who is a long-distance bicycle rider. And we had seen him on his new bike earlier this week and thought we'd bring him in. And just before the long music break, we were talking about the BC Randonneurs, a club here in BC that does training for a 1,200-kilometer ride in Paris. Traditionally, that's the big ride. And it got me thinking, you know, you need to fuel that machine, your body. What kind of eating requirements do you have when you're doing these kind of rides? Is it all hamburgers and chocolate bars or those fancy food you get from Mech?
Well, I found out the hard way about eating hamburgers and trying to ride 20 hours at a time. There certainly are some dietary things you have to learn. Actually, that's part of the training. You got to train your digestive system to actually digest food while operating at peak efficiency, which is strange. Most sports, you know, they don't last so long. You fuel up beforehand and you work off your stored energy. But if you're riding, 20 hours at, like 6,000, 7,000 calories a day, you have no choice but to put fuel into your system as you go. I use a handlebar bag. Definitely chocolate bars go in there, nuts, brown rice syrup actually is pretty good. Beef jerky. I'm a big fan of beef jerky. It's different for everyone, though. Everyone's stomach works sort of different. But it's definitely something you have to learn. You really got to listen to your body.
I can imagine. So, and Gatorade, water, what's your choice there?
Yeah, definitely some of each. Gatorade's important. It's important, or, you know, sports drinks anyway. It's important to replace the fluids that, or the electrolytes and the salts that you sweat out. I personally like a 50-50 mix of Gatorade and water in one bottle and just straight water in the other. And I go between them kind of just as my taste sort of dictates. Mm-hmm. But I find straight up Gatorade, it just makes me kind of feel queasy.
Mm-hmm. And I remember looking on their website, they had a picture gallery and a number of things I saw where they had checkpoints. Is this correct?
Yeah, that's right. The basic way a brevet works is there's a set route, and at the beginning of the event you get a route sheet, which has basically a list of turns where it tells you which direction to turn and how many kilometers it is to the next turn, so mm-hmm. you can sort of follow along on your cycle computer.
Mm-hmm.
And every certain amount of distance there's a control point. Typically these are staffed by volunteers. And they'll sign your route card for you to prove that you've been at that place at a certain time or within a certain time window.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's not enough volunteers to go around, so you wind up going into like a local business, like you know, you get the lady at the Tim Hortons counter to sign your route sheet.
Oh, okay.
Which, which is only weird for the first person.
Right.
By the time I get around to the checkpoints, they're just, oh, another one of those weirdo cyclists. Mm-hmm.
And do they provide food or drink at these checkpoints, or no, that's expected that you have to provide for yourself?
If you're lucky, there'll be some snacks there, but it's very much a self-sufficiency thing. You're out there, you know, on your own on the road a lot of the time, and you're expected to be able to deal with flat tires and feeding yourself and even minor bicycle repairs on your own. It's a really self-sufficiency is key.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember also in the gallery, I believe there's a picture of you in the gallery, and it's quite one of the most sporting pictures I've ever seen of you, and you're all decked out in your special bike clothes and your sunglasses from the construction yard and stuff like that. It's a great photo. Anybody that's listening might, you know, be interested in doing this. They might be wondering, do I need, you know, proper bike clothes, or can I just go with torn off army pants and, you know, a t-shirt?
Well, you certainly could wear torn off army pants and a t-shirt. There's no fashion guidelines, but it's, you know, those decisions generally are made on a functional basis. There's a reason why cyclists wear spandex shorts, and it's not just to look cool.
At least you think it looks cool.
Well, you know, really, when you're out, when you're out all day riding, it's important that your clothes work for you, and they pass perspiration through, and they keep you warm, and they keep the wind off. Really, like, these kind of rides go through all kinds of extremes. It can be just boiling hot, you know, sun beating down during the day on massive mountain climbs. Mm-hmm. And then you could be descending the Malahat in the middle of the night in the rain. So you have to be prepared for everything, really. And, you tend to test the limits of your outdoor gear.
I can only imagine. Mech becomes your best friend, I guess.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've had a good experience of traveling both in BC and Ontario. As far as I know, there's no other bicycling provinces that you've done. Are there any major differences between the two provinces?
There certainly are. BC is kind of like Shangri-La. You know, it's a really great place to ride a bicycle. You can, except for a small section through Vancouver itself, you can ride on Highway 1 through the whole province. I don't think anyone would even dream of riding on a 400 series highway in Ontario.
No, you have to be crazy.
No, but they actually, they put signs out, and they have a plan for cyclists on the major highways in BC. Mm-hmm. In fact, the manager of highways for the province is a cyclist himself, as I understand. I've not met him. The terrain can be challenging in BC, though. There's seriously big mountains in the way of a lot of routes here.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it's not as bad as you might think. Ontario, while it doesn't have really extremely high features, a lot of the hills are a lot steeper.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not used to building mountain roads there. They don't really work so hard to make the grades more gentle. In BC, it's actually quite rare to find a highway grade that's steeper than 8%.
Mm. Interesting point. Never thought of that. I've driven across Canada numerous times, so I can't say that I know these grades well.
Yeah, there's a few places that you can find like the 18% hill in BC, but it's actually a lot more common on Ontario. They're just really short. You know, a few hundred meters of really extreme climbing is mm-hmm. not uncommon in Ontario.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've, you know, been kind of grilling you on equipment and stuff like that. Have you ever, I've seen people, you know, in BC or Vancouver, particularly a lot of trailers. Have you ever toured with a trailer to carry extra equipment for maybe even camping or something like that?
Yeah, I've got a bob trailer, actually, and I really love it.
Mm-hmm.
I typically, if I'm just riding by myself, I pack really lightly. I take the bare minimum equipment because, yeah, I like to go fast, and mm-hmm. weight slows you down. But I've gone on some trips with, like, my sister and her boyfriend came out one summer, and we toured the Gulf Islands. And the trailer was actually invaluable because I was able to pack a bunch of gear. you know, the tent and some of the stuff from my companions, and make the trip a lot easier and more possible for them. Mm-hmm. And I find actually the Bob trailer, the single wheel trailer, handles really, really well, and it's quite aerodynamically efficient as well.
Yeah, I've seen quite a few of them, and I've used them myself, and they're quite good. And speaking of equipment, we should remind you that we're doing our first, or CITR is doing its first fundraising drive, much like if you're from Ontario, which most of BC is. If you remember PBS, the Sesame Street, when they're doing the drives and they ask you to get your parents to come down, and then they, you know, pressured the parents to send money their way. I feel like that blonde lady right now, and I can't remember her name, but she's forever in my head. But so we have some ways of contacting us to send us some money, and this money is going to be very, very well used. We need some new equipment in the studio. The news folks need some digital editors to get the news out to the students here at UBC. And just all sorts of equipment. So you can do this online at citr.ca/donate.php, or you can call on the old-fashioned phone at
604-822-8648 or 604-822-1242.
All right. Well, we're going to go skip to another song.
I'm losing my marbles, and I'll tell you, it's a doggone shame that there's so many deranged people. They're driving me insane. Yeah, I like a little woman who looks so fine. I say, when I eat my honey, yes, I take my time. Think I'm losing my marbles. Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a doggone shame. Yeah, I think I'm losing my marbles. The doctor says I don't have too much time. Yes, I think I'm losing my marbles. You give me pills to ease my worried mind. Yes, I like a little honey and I like a little cheese. Yes, chocolate's all right, but don't you give me disease. I think I'm losing my marbles. Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a doggone chain play. A doggone shame that there's so many deranged people. They're driving me insane. Yes, I like a little woman who loves me so good. I say, when I eat my honey, yes, I eat like I should. I think I'm losing my marbles. Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a doggone shame.
It sucks computer waste gets stuck in landfills or dumped on poor countries.
Where can I take my old hardware?
FreeGeek!
Is a volunteer nonprofit run by punks like you. Recycling hardware, sharing skills, and providing access to technology.
Check out FreeGeekVancouver.org or call 604-879-GEEK.
FreeGeek! Helping the needy get nerdy!
And welcome back to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. That song was I Think I'm Losing My Marbles by the McKinnon Mendelssohn Mainline Band. The album Stink. Good luck finding it. So we are here with Sim again talking about long-distance riding. And also asking the good listenership, all five of you out there, to open up your hearts and your wallet and bank accounts and Swiss bank accounts and help us raise $20,000 which isn't a lot of money these days. It's nothing, really. I mean, there's some people that make that in a week, you know. They're probably not listening, though. There are two numbers, very important numbers, and Sim has been so good this whole show informing the great public. What are the two numbers they can contact us at?
Well, Dave, those numbers are 604-822-8648 or 604-822-1242.
So as some of our regular listeners know, my folks out in Ontario listen to this radio show religiously every other Thursday. And I expect they called to give some money. But my father has always been about safety. And I know he's probably thinking, wow, you know, 400 kilometers in a day on the highway. You know, is this a safe thing to do?
Well, David, actually, I find riding bicycles on BC's highways to be one of the safer places to ride bicycles. I'm not sure if you've ever tried to ride a bicycle in downtown Vancouver, but certainly even just the regular streets around town, there's lots of chances to get run over or cut off. Whereas on the highway, everyone's mostly going the same direction, and they're really quite predictable. And if you're comfortable out there, it's really a very safe place to be. There's some things, though, that aren't necessarily as safe as they could be. Since the beginning of the decade, BC's been on a program of grinding rumble strips into the shoulders of the highways, which I know my dad loves them. You know, like if you're kind of dozing off on the road as you're driving, you hit the rumble strips and it vibrates your car. You feel it through the steering wheel. And
it's very loud.
Yeah, you wake right up. And, of course, people will argue, well, isn't that a good thing? You know, like, doesn't it keep the cars off the shoulders so they don't hit you on your bicycle? Like, yeah, I suppose that's true to a degree. I generally prefer that those drivers out there that are falling asleep just get off the road. But I'm not sure that everyone out there has had the experience of actually going across a set of rumble strips on a bicycle at more than about 15 kilometers an hour. It is a teeth and bone rattling experience. It makes you feel like your whole bicycle is going to shake apart. And it's actually quite possible to lose control of a bicycle crossing rumble strips. It's happened to a few people, actually, including a randonneur who on the Flesh Pacific in 2003 was thrown from his bike while crossing rumble strips and hospitalized with a broken collarbone. And this is a guy that's been riding about 20,000 kilometers a year and hasn't had an accident in 35 years. You know, So for him to lose control of his bicycle, it's pretty serious. I think anybody who's done any amount of highway riding has their own rumble strip near miss story, and I've certainly had mine too.
Really? Well, will you let us know about your rumble strip story?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. It was Remembrance Day weekend in 2004. I was riding to Port Hardy, and I was about halfway from Campbell River to Port Hardy, just past a little town named Wass. I'd never been down this road before, and it was getting late at night. It was probably about 1 in the morning, which is actually my favorite time to ride. It's quiet. There's hardly any traffic. Very peaceful. You can't really see too much, but you know, at that point, you're so tired, you're not really paying attention anyway. But this was with my old bike and my old gear, and I had kind of a paltry headlight, just a little LED headlight and another light on my helmet that cast off this pale blue glow. It was enough to see the fog line, the painted white line that demarcates the shoulder from the road, and really not much else. That didn't really bother me. My habit in such situations is just to ride down the traffic lane because the traffic is so light you can hear cars coming from about 2 miles away. Mm-hmm. And you see the headlights. You have lots of time to pull over to the shoulder when they're approaching. And, of course, while they're going by, you can use their headlights to see any obstacles on the shoulder. The problem was the BC government, in their wisdom, had ground rumble strips into the fog line, into that white line, to, I guess, protect sleepy drivers. Now, these strips, they were the newest Rumble strips, and the government's actually sorted this out. They've really done a much better job with the newer highway building than they at the beginning of the decade. What they do now, they just grind the strips right into the fog line, and they put gaps so that you can weave through them on a bicycle. But it was too dark for me to see the gaps, so I was bunny hopping the strips back and forth whenever the cars would pass. So I was coming down a hill, and a truck crested behind me. So, like I had done several dozen times that night, I bunny hopped over the fog line. Except this time, instead of landing on a paved shoulder, I hit the loose gravel shoulder and just about lost control of my bike. So, sweet. Without even having to drive into the rumble strips, I just about crashed because of them that night.
Well, that's I'm glad you're still here. And rumble strips are not made for sleepy bikers, are they?
No.
Just cars.
Just cars.
But I think maybe this studio could use some rumble strips, maybe for the late night DJs to keep awake. And we could only do that because the BC government, the guys that make the roads, very expensive. We need new and interesting equipment in here. I had to bring my own extension cord in last month due to lack of that kind of just normal everyday equipment. And did you know that you can volunteer here and become a member at CITR and get free courses on how to do what I'm doing right now? And while it's free for you, there's still a cost somewhere. So if you could be so kind to visit citr.ca/donate.php, or if you want to talk to a human, you can
call this number, 604-822-8648, or 604-822-1242.
Awesome. Now, of course, we keep talking about this dream equipment that will become a reality shortly because of the good listenership. And I'm just curious, Sim, what would be your dream sort of bike tour anywhere you could pick and conditions, bicycle? Well, you got the dream bike, so give me the dream tour now.
Well, I think the dream tour for a lot of Canadians is the classic ride across the country. That's actually the reason why I came out to originally Victoria back in 2002. I set out to do the ride across the country. Now, I have found out that you couldn't actually get a job in Victoria in January, so that trip kind of got put on the back burner. But my trip, my dream trip, I think, would be a trip to the Yukon. I'd like to try and ride the Dempster Highway.
Sweet.
It goes from Dawson City to Inuvik, just about on the Arctic coast.
Yeah, that's I've heard through some other bike folks here in Vancouver of some fellows doing the Dempster in the wintertime, and maybe that's something that you should check out. Mm-hmm. But before we go, I think since you're doing such a great job, can we get that number one more time, Sim, in your best radio voice?
Absolutely, David. That number is 604-822-8648. Or, if that number is busy, dial 604-822-1242.
Awesome. And I want to thank everybody for listening. This is the Pedal Revolutionary Show. And have a good night. Ride safe. Get all the gear that you need and lights and all that jazz. And if you see Sim riding down the street with his brand new bicycle, give him a wave. Night.
Don't you rock them all, no.
Sail away, let it sail away.
Well, ever I get my new house done,
sail away, let it sail away.
I'm gonna give my old one to my son,
sail away, let it sail away.
Well, don't you rock them, daddy. Oh, don't you rock them, daddy. Said, don't you rock them all, no.
Sail away, let it sail away.
I got a little thing and it shine like gold. All the women say it satisfies the soul. If it's time like that, beat up off, but it's time like that. Beat up off, oh, you hear me talking to you. It's time like that. Oh, little brown rooster and a little red hen, and I've been on top since half past ten. It's time like that. Beat up off, but it's time like that. Tennessee, oh,
sail away, let it sail away.
Well, don't you rock with daddy, oh, don't you rock with daddy. Said, don't you rock him, oh, no.
Sail away, let it sail away.
I'm at war. I'm at war with myself. I'm at war with you. I'm at war with everybody. That's why I don't do drugs, because I don't want to be numb. I want to feel the pain. I want the clarity of the challenge. I want to win. I want to kick in the head. I want to tear the throat box out. I want to smash in the lungs. I want to kick in the rib cage. I want to split the spine. And I want to use your phone, make love to your wife, sister, eat your dog, and leave your house with a good cassette.
CITR 101.9 FM. Where there's just a little bit of Kim Fowley in each and every one of us.
No, I don't think so.